Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, welcome to Janny Team Selection ahead of the final game week 38. Can you believe it, Janny? We're here. Just a few days left for the season.
Oh yeah, it's quite nice in a way, I think. I am ready for the end of the season, but at the same time, I know 2 weeks will pass a kind of end of the month and I'll be like, right, ready to go again, missing FPL. but yeah, I mean, look, I've been wanting to know where I'm going to finish this season for a very long time. And in 5 days' time, I'm going to know what rank I finish on. And, you know, the only rank that matters is only ever really the end of season rank, isn't it? So I want that info.
Yep. So you're currently placed at 18,693. We'll talk about the players you've got left. You've got a few players left this game week. But it looked like last week, top 10K was a distant dream. But I don't know, a late push?
A late push, if Danny Ings goes big tonight, yeah. 10K is very realistic. If Danny Ings blanks tonight, top 10K
it's very unlikely.
Sorry, Thursday. Yeah. No Premier League football tonight. It was really disappointing. They went Monday night, Tuesday night, nothing on Wednesday, and then loads on Thursday.
Well, it's the Europa League final. So they didn't they didn't want to clash. Yeah, yeah.
I don't even think I'll bother watching the Europa League final. I don't care too much about Rangers and Frankfurt. I mean, I'll definitely be watching the Conference League final featuring Roma because, of course, yeah. I'm a Roma fan as every other Italian team in the league when they're in Europe.
Is it a shirt on your wall for Roma?
I've got a match-worn Totti shirt.
Have you?
On that rail somewhere, yeah, as well as a few others from Roma. Yeah, they make good shirts.
They do. Yes, just before we get into your game week 37, 38, I just want to talk about Club, who we have been partnered with this season. If anyone's not familiar with Club, it's a free-to-play mobile game that allows you to create, build and sell your own digital football club. And basically, you step into the shoes of a kind of CEO club owner. It's got fantasy football elements. So you pick players, they score points. But then you've also got the kind of more football manager side in terms of youth development, transfers, all this kind of stuff. It's quite cool. If you look at if you look at the screen, there's a picture of my kit and my badge. I'm one of these kind of founding club members. There's still time to do that. If you want to become a gold founding member, you can. There's still spots. There's a link in the description below. You pick players from Europe's top five leagues. So it's not just limited to the Premier League. So you can effectively have a team with Mbappe and Kante and all these kind of guys. And it's the kind of scoring system's tweaked so that kind of defensive midfielders and players are rewarded more. You've also got to kind of build like a normal team. So it's a bit different to FPL in terms of, you know, you can have like a back four and then, you know, two centre mids and stuff like that. So it's not just all about the kind of attacking players. You get involved in Club, Janny? You've been kind of on the threshold of it, haven't you?
I've been keeping my eyes on it. Like, I was really interested to see like what it was about. So far, I don't have a team or anything like that. I haven't actually started playing the game, but I have had my eyes on it. And I do think it will inevitably be something that I take to in the summer when there's no FPL.
Yeah.
So I imagine they'll have a spike in users off the back of the kind of couple of weeks in the summer, especially because there's not a summer tournament other than the Women's Euros to really get behind. So, yeah. I've definitely got my eyes on it. And I like your kit, Az. I like that dark green. It's some sort of Germany away vibes.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, yeah, nice. Yeah, I mean, it's not actually out yet, the game. So even if you wanted to get involved in it, you can't at the moment. They're still in the kind of beta tweaking stage. It will be released in the summer. So this is kind of the final chance to get involved in that. What would you see your kind of ownership style? Would you be like, because you can take sponsor deals, right? I like it because it's like Football Manager, but moving like football owner side. So you can take like oil money, but then the fans might turn against you. And then there's kind of like, you know, kind of things that happen to your club off the back of that. Or you can be like, you know, you take like the Greenpeace money and all that kind of stuff. Then you get far less, but then all the fans are on your side. There's different ways you can kind of go with it.
I would love to say I'm going to go down the Forest Green vibe and be a fully vegan club and sort of go green and think about like human rights first and of course like green vibes first. But actually, when it comes down to it, I'd probably go, I want all the best players and therefore this is just a game and I will go and go win at all costs and take the oil money if it means my team will be better. In real life, I wouldn't do that, but on the game, I think I would.
I was going to say, you'd definitely be both be taking all the money, I think, on the game. Cool. So if you're interested in that, if any of that sounds interesting to you, check it out. There's a link in the YouTube description. The website itself is, let me just find it, it's clubgame.app. There will be an app for that coming out in the summer, and then it will be kicking off kind of next season, I imagine, when the football starts. Right.
Cool.
Let's talk about Game Week 37.
Yeah.
So far. You're on a free hit. I mean, let's be honest, the free hitters have all been doing very well this season as well, apart from my free hit, but mostly this week. It's kind of all gone a bit perfectly, right? I mean, you've got Pickford in goal, Dean, Mikolenko, Cash, De Bruyne, Zaha, Son, Madison, excellent, Ings, captain, Kane, and Richarlison. And okay, you went for Ings over Richarlison, but you know, you've had Madison come in, you've had Dean come in, Richarlison as well, really popular. Liverpool, look at the team Liverpool played last night. You've halved your rank. You've got to be pretty happy.
Yeah, I am very happy. As always, captaincy is just, I'm rubbish at it. I can't wait to go through next week when we do our review and compare my captaincy with other sort of FPL show pundits or scout guys, and I guarantee I'll be very close to the bottom of the list. Like, I'm just dreadful at picking captains, clearly. Although Danny Ings might turn up tonight, but look,
he's not playing tonight.
Thursday.
God's sake, Janny.
I went double Everton defence, and as soon as Branthwaite got the red card, I was like, well, that's going to go then. And then obviously Palace scored against Villa, but I don't mind. Dina did get the 6 points. I thought he got a bonus, but obviously not. Or maybe he did get one bonus. Can't remember.
He got the assist for 3 and then the points for 2, and then one bonus for 6.
Yeah, so he did get one bonus. Useful. But look, Thursday night, so much action, right? I've got all my Villa guys, triple. I've got triple Everton. I've got Zaha. I've got Madison again. So I'm hoping I get a really big green, and this rank that we're looking at now is vastly improved. So far, so good. I went Madison as a last-minute shout on Sunday morning, pretty much after watching Liverpool go to extra time. I had in my head, if Liverpool go to extra time, I probably won't go with Jota. Even though I knew Jota would start regardless, we all knew Jota was starting last night. I was more just, I wanted Jota starting with a fair few good players or first team players around him. And instead he started in a B team, which I thought would be the case should the game go to extra time. So Jota came out for Madison in what was kind of my only change. The other thing I was waiting on, as I was hoping we might get some Leicester team news. And there, if we did, I would have gone Vardy and Madison, or perhaps Vardy instead of Madison, but I didn't get it. And if I'd gone Vardy, this is weird to say, and look, I didn't do it. And this isn't sour grapes at all. If I'd gone Vardy, I may have captained him, knowing he was starting against Watford. I probably would have. But it's funny, I never considered captaining Madison. And I don't know why.
No.
I would have captained Vardy and I wouldn't have captained Madison. It's that whole number 9 bonus points thing for goals and penalty appeal. So look, I've said all week I was probably going to go for my Aston Villa forward, whether that was Watkins or Ings. And again, if we had known Watkins was starting, he probably would have been in my team. But look, we didn't. So yeah, I'm happy and I can't complain.
Because it wasn't so much about the money, was it, with Vardy? Because, I mean, you've got like Cancelo on your bench,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah, I had the money.
It's knowing who that kind of optimal front three were. Because Richarlison was, I think, in everyone's team. Kane and Son were so, you know, attractive against Burnley. I took a minus 12 and ended up getting Danny Ings in. I thought he was the most...
Did you captain Ings?
I did, yeah. To me, he was the one I most wanted to captain. The stats were great. The fixtures were good. You know, Watkins had that kind of injury doubt, which either meant he had all that creativity behind him, or if Watkins was fit. I mean, Watkins set him up twice for, you know, really good chances.
First 20 minutes, he could have had a brace.
I know. So it was quite frustrating. And then, you know, you'd have to have taken one of those out, obviously, to go for Vardy with no real guarantee that he'd start that Watford game, given that he played Norwich in the last match. So, I think Madison was the kind of safer choice. But still, there wasn't real guarantee that he would start the Watford game. It's so hard to predict who's going to start for... for Leicester, and that kind of makes the captaincy a bit tougher, whereas Ings and Richarlison were, you know, were nailed on. So I didn't consider it either. Fair play for the people that went for Vardy, you know, and captained him. And, you know, Luke, for example, had Vardy, Maddison and Barnes, went triple Leicester, you know, on the free hit. You know, it's a great move. But yeah, I think looking at the teams, and, you know, Newcastle beating Arsenal, you know, all the Ramsdales and Sackers all blanking.
Liverpool, you know, not showing up.
Like we said, Liverpool not showing up, and then you got some fixtures to come. So I think you're in.
Oh, City conceding was good as well, wasn't it? City conceding, like, so many had double City defence.
Laporte, Cancelo, all these guys. Yeah, and I think, you know, you've got seven left for game week 38, for 37. I think you could be at 13-14k, and, you know, that makes a really interesting last day.
Yeah, I think so much. I think if Danny Ings goes big, I could be in the top 10k by the end of the week, but yeah, I need him to go big, which is a long shot. Cancelo was in my 11 as, and again, till Sunday morning, the two changes I made was Jota out, Maddison in, that worked well.
Wow.
And then I always had Luka Dean, but I didn't have cash. So it was Cancelo instead of cash in my 11. And what most of us do when there's double game weeks on is we start the week going, I'm going to have five or six single game week players. I'm going to be really reserved, going to go cover the right guys. And then as the days tick on and the deadline approaches and those hours get nearer, you get the FOMO and go, I'm free hitting. Why don't I just go all in on double game weekers? Now, I didn't do that. You can see where I still had double Spurs and De Bruyne. But I did increase my double game week load by going, look, Matty Cash is playing twice, Cancelo's playing once, West Ham could score, Bowen's decent, Antonio's decent, let's just take him out. So I was really pleased with that decision. And I think sometimes we make decisions a little bit based on effective ownership and FOMO. And I looked at it and went, why is Cancelo in my team this week? I really don't need him. I'm going to have him for 38 anyway. And I looked at it and went, probably was, because I just looked at the ownership and was a bit scared of it, which is a ridiculous way to manage, especially at this point in the season. So I went Matty Cash in, and look, he got 2 points, but he might go and get 6-7 tomorrow night.
Yep. I mean, realistically, though, you put in Jota for Maddison, and I don't think you're sitting here as happy as you are.
Yes.
Yeah. You would only have had Richarlison,
five,
and a couple of points from Dean, and the captain blank going into it. So you'd be kind of saying, oh, I'm optimistic, but, you know, it's not been so great so far. Whereas at the moment, you've had it's been good and it could get better. And that's the difference that one player can make, right? You get one call like that. And, you know, people call them 50-50 calls. Whether they are 50-50 calls, I think, is very debatable. They might be 50-50 calls in your mind, but...
Yeah, they're not. And all I've seen on my Twitter timeline is 50-50 calls chat in the last month. For me, that feels like... Is that not FPL? Is FPL season after season, week after week, do we not in our head have to make these 50-50 calls every week, where in our head it seems like it's a 50-50 call? In reality, it's probably not. Maddison was definitely a better shout than Jota. That wasn't 50-50. Maddison plays twice. Jota was a week in Liverpool in a 120 minutes. That was a 70-30.
Yeah.
But in my head, I thought it was a 50-50.
I find it funny when people are like, oh, I had one of these four players. It was just such a 50-50 call. It's like, well, that now isn't a 50-50 call, is it?
Yeah, it's easy. Look, we'll always go back to the, oh, it was a 50-50 when we were wrong. But when we were right, we forget about all those 50-50 calls we got right or we got lucky with. So for me, over 38 game weeks, your rank's true. Like, I really think it. And look, I'm sat here on a good rank, so it might sound easy to say, but last season I had a terrible rank. And again, it was true. I didn't manage well last year. So I genuinely think luck balances itself out. I think there are enough variables in this game to go 38 weeks to go at the end of the season. Yeah, you may have got unlucky with some chips, but you may have got lucky in other weeks. It balanced. 38 game weeks is enough. There's enough individual performances in those 38 weeks for me to make it pretty even.
Yeah, the only kind of caveat to that is, I mean, last week was the craziest week that I've ever experienced in FPL. You know, having people 100 points behind me in mini leagues catching me up in 1 week, I've never experienced that before.
Yeah, the De Bruyne catch. But is it only because it's fresh in our minds, Az? Do you not think you've had a week like that, or do you just remember this because it was a week ago?
Not 100 points in 1 week.
It was mental.
I mean, you know, there's been big weeks where I've had like 110, 120 points. Other people have got like 160, 170. But then other people have had, you know, less. It was like I looked around mini leagues and everyone was 120 plus. Everyone. you know, and I know there were some people like me who were kind of in the 60, 70 marks. I've spoken to people and they've all said the same thing. They just couldn't believe, looking at the team they had with 11 doublers going into that week, feeling quite confident about it, to lose ground like that. So yeah, it can be a brutal game.
It is absolutely brutal. But for every week you have like that, which is rare, they're few and far between, you also have that one worldie week each season where you have the 120 points on everyone else.
Yep. Well, yeah, that is true. Yep. And that's the thing. Before we move on to your team for game week... Oh, hang on. What's happened here? Hi, everyone. Sorry about that. I will explain briefly what happened. So it's another Zoom issue. Basically, we have like a central Fantasy Football Scout paid Zoom. But we don't all tend to use it because if you've got two people, it's free, right? So you only need to pay when there's more than two of you. But Zoom have changed it now. So now it is only up to 40 minutes, even with two people. So now everyone basically who's with Scout is now using this one central Zoom. So it was Joe. It was Joe's fault. Joe signed into it and logged me out. Didn't realize we were on a stream. So that is why. So I think I'm gonna have to develop some kind of schedule or something that everyone looks at, even though, well, there is one already, but I need to make that more public for everyone.
I'm just disappointed Joe isn't watching my team selection videos. Well, I know, Joe, that's it. Come on.
that says a lot, doesn't it? It says a lot that Joe isn't here watching that. To be honest, I'm amazed it's taken 38 weeks for something like that to happen. So yeah, it's not too bad. But yeah, if you're wondering why we disappeared, that is why. Thanks for the comments about my Karate Kid background, by the way. It's actually a Cobra Kai background, not Karate Kid, but you're close.
Love it.
Right, I think we were at your team for game week 38. So it's Ramsdale in goal. It's Trent, James, Alonso and Cancelo. You've got Salah, Diaz, Havertz, Kulusevski, Saka and Kane. So this is your team coming back from before the free hit. Happy with it?
Yeah, I'm happy with it in the respect that if I was putting together a free hit team, it would have pretty much three Liverpool, three City, three Chelsea and a couple of Spurs, or three Spurs, two Chelsea. So I've got these teams covered, right? Teams with something to play for, top four, right? So going for the title teams and obviously Spurs because of Spurs and Chelsea because of easy fixtures. So at the moment, I've got two Arsenal players in there who play Everton. I wouldn't want them anywhere near a free hit team because I wouldn't want Saka or Ramsdale in, but I'm happy enough with them. I'm not going to be swapping them out. What I don't have in this team, the big one, is Son. Now, you can look at Havertz and do your emojis, but...
Which people are.
if Lukaku plays on Thursday night, and there's talk that Havertz is back fit, then I think Havertz starts versus Watford and you definitely want him in your team. So a lot is going to be dependent on what Tuchel says post-match, what we see during the game to know about that Chelsea selection. What I like about it for Chelsea is not only is it Watford, but it's also the last home game, right? So you would think there won't be a huge amount of rotation, especially if we see some of that rotation on Thursday away at Leicester. The likes of Alonso, this could be his last game in a Chelsea shirt. I think he's going to start at home against Watford as a send-off. But yeah, James and Havertz is a little bit up in the air. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. Liverpool, I'm confident with Trent and Diaz. They both start. If Salah's injured, and again, training pictures, press conference quotes, going to be so important. Klopp's quite good. And we know what he's already said, that he's an option. Salah out, Son in seems like the most obvious transfer ever. If Salah's out. If Salah's not out, then I've got a bit of a dilemma because it's like, do I risk 10 minutes for Salah off the bench knowing Son's going to get 90 against Norwich? I'd probably make that transfer still. I would need assurances that Salah's fully okay to keep him, I think.
Mm. I was in a state last week because I just couldn't work out what to do because I wanted Son, you know, for that Burnley match and the Norwich game, obviously, but I didn't want to sell Salah away at Southampton, even though I knew that he was probably going to get reduced minutes after the final. And then he got injured in the final. And obviously, I don't wish injuries on any player, but it was kind of like, I just breathed. I just was like, oh, that makes my transfer so easy this week. I'm just going to do Salah to Son.
You did Salah to Son, did you? Yeah.
And, you know, and that was, in a way, that was one of the advantages of not being on the free hit, because I think people with Salah have got a decision to make now, because unless Klopp comes out and says Salah is completely fine and ready to play, there is going to be a big question mark about his availability. I think Liverpool go full strength in that game against Wolves.
Yeah, me too.
but they're not going to take risks. They're not going to take any unnecessary risks with players like Salah and.
Yeah, you know, 6 days later, Champions League final. It's like you're just exactly. not gonna risk him if he's doubtful. The big thing for me, Az, is I've seen loads of free hitters are 1-0 up. Now free hitters have got lucky with a lot of things, but free hitters 1-0 up in the respect that they didn't sell Salah and he could be this amazing differential. Now he could be, but that means for the free hit teams, you probably haven't got Son. Like, assuming you've got Kane, like me, if you've got Salah, you don't have Son. So I don't think it's 1-0 advantage free hitters at all. I think, if anything, I'd rather not have that, have to use that transfer and already have Son instead of Salah in my team. Even if Salah's fit, who would you prefer? Salah at home to Wolves or Son away to Norwich? I'd prefer Son.
I mean, now that is a 50-50 call. If both start, that is a 50-50 call.
On current form, I'd want Son.
Yeah, but Wolves are bad.
Norwich
are bad. I mean, they're both bad. They're both good. I don't know. It's really close. I think I'd lean towards Son as well, but I wouldn't feel good. If Klopp comes out and says Salah's ready to play in 38 and fight for the Golden Boot, we're going to give him 90 minutes. You know, I'm going to be there like, oh, that could be a big one for the people that have still got him. But it did not feel good not having Son, and I would have had no other way to get him other than selling Salah. Your bench is a joke. Let's
although I think Gelhardt's a nice differential this week.
Yeah, I suppose he is. I guess he is if he gets the minutes. Yeah.
I think my bench is Broya, rubbish, Gelhardt, Amity, for anyone wondering. But Gelhardt is a good first sub to have. I genuinely would look at it and go, I'd be very happy if he makes it into my 11.
So let's say you sell Salah for Son. That'll give you sort of 2.3 million left to play with. Havertz is a problem, I guess.
Yeah, Havertz is a problem. And
I guess he'd need to go as well, right?
If he's not fit, I've got the option of playing Gelhardt in my 11 and having Havertz on the bench, but then that doesn't give me a good bench option should Reece James or Alonso or Saka, because I think Saka's injured. I think Saka's been injured for the last 3 weeks and I think he's been nursing it, and I think that's why he's not been the same player. And I wouldn't be surprised now there's nothing to play for Arsenal to see Saka not even play. But this is going off absolutely nothing, guys, so don't take that as gospel. I feel like this week I'm going to need a good first sub, which makes me think if Havertz is out, I have to sell him for a 4-point hit. If Havertz and Salah are out, I have to make a 4-point hit and then have Gelhardt as a good first sub option, knowing Reece or Saka might not play. So who does Havertz become? I'll have money to pretty much buy who I want. I won't be able to reach KDB, which is a shame. I'd be just short of that. I could have any other Man City midfielder. I could go for Mahrez, punt. I could go back to Foden.
Are you joking? Amares, what more does that man need to do to get people to stop transferring him in? I can't believe
I've not had him all season. I've not had him yet. I want my slice of Mahrez cake. But look, Havertz to Foden would probably be more likely than Mahrez. But it would be Mahrez, Foden, or Money Mace. Mason Mount, flat track bully against weaker teams. I'd have the Chelsea spot available. So it could be Havertz.
Have a lot of money on your bench. You'd have about two million on your bench, right? Because Mount's about the same price as Havertz.
Havertz, yeah, he's even cheaper, I think. Yeah.
I mean, not that matters. I mean, what do you feel about hits on the final day? Because they're difficult, right? Because they've got to come in that week. That's the obvious thing about them. It's not like you get a few weeks to kind of justify how that hit goes. You have to get those 4 points back on the day or it's a failure. Yeah. Do you tend to take them on 38? I try to avoid them, but there's so much potential this week.
I don't think last season I took any. The year before that was the year where I think we had early team news that Salah was out.
Yeah.
I think I took a minus 12 or 16. No. I took them on the final day. I took a massive, because I was playing for mini league success, as I always do, more than, until this season. This is the first season I've cared more about overall rank than mini league success, because I've not had money on it. And because we were told we're not allowed to bet anymore. So I took a minus 16 to cover Toby, to get all the players I knew he had that could do well, that could hurt me. So
sly.
And because I was like 10 points above him in my mini league. So I went and I saw the Salah news, who was out. So he claims the only reason I beat him was I saw the early team news and he was driving back from my house down to Brighton where he lives and therefore didn't see the early team news. And he still says the only reason I beat him that year is because I saw the team news and the Salah thing.
He's but, probably right, to be fair.
It was funny because I took a 16-point hit, I think it was, but I beat him by 16 points in the end. And Alonso, one of the players I brought in, got a free kick goal against Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Mason Mount assist. So I'm not, I don't mind taking hits, but look, like always with hits, I always say they're not just for 1 week, they're for the foreseeable future. And in game week 38, they are only for 1 week. So you've got to be certain. So look, I would take it if it meant selling Havertz, who I knew was out, for a Foden or a Mount, because I think that player can get more than 4 points that week and I don't have a bench. But would I be would I usually advocate for lots of hits? I probably wouldn't, unless it's for mini league coverage.
Yeah, I mean, there's some very interesting games this week. I mean, Arsenal-Everton, I know Arsenal are out of that top four now, but, you know, well, I mean, they're not, are they? If Spurs lose and Arsenal
Spurs
win...
Spurs have to lose. Spurs if Spurs have to draw, lose. Then, okay. Then they're fine.
I mean, that's
they're not going to lose, are they?
It's very unlikely, but there is still a chance, which means I think that the Arsenal go full strength for this. Everton's away form is terrible. Brentford-Leeds, I really like Brentford at home in this game.
Do you? Even with Leeds having so much to play for.
Yeah, but this is so much nonsense.
They've had something to play for the last 3 months. They've been rubbish every time.
I think this is my new thing next to EO, where I just think it's absolute garbage. Because I mean, look at Everton-Brentford. That's a perfect example of a team with everything to play for versus a team with nothing to play for. And who wins that game? Brentford. You look at Arsenal versus Newcastle.
Yeah.
Arsenal with everything good to example. Play for, Newcastle with nothing to play for. Look who wins, Newcastle. It's nonsense. You just can't predict it, especially not down the bottom of the table. These teams have been poor all season.
Yeah.
Unless there is a dramatic reversal in how they perform, I expect Brentford to beat Leeds. I expect Arsenal to beat Everton. I expect Newcastle to beat Burnley, even though these teams need something. I expect the better teams to all win those games. And I look at Brentford at home, how they play. I look at Ivan Toney. I look at how patched up Leeds are. Yeah. I think he's someone that I'm really looking at, because I think that's the kind of differential that not many people are going to move for that could do quite well this week. So,
yeah, I don't mind that call, I guess. And I agree with you about the things to play for. We say it too much. I do think something to play for when it's a golden boot or a good team getting Champions League or even like winning a league, like you could argue... Mm. Liverpool up their game last night against Southampton with that B team because they've got something to play for. But I agree, like accusing Premier League players and teams of being on the beach as well has become a little bit my pet peeve. And I think it's because I'm like, the lack of respect shown to these professional athletes to say that they're on the beach. Like, they're not, because even the teams that are mid-table, you could argue have nothing to play for, are arguably, look at their contract situations. They've always got something to play for. They're always talking contracts.
Of course I have.
Look at their future transfers this summer, their individual performances still, even if you could say the team has nothing there. And you could just say Newcastle and Brentford and teams like that. Well, the fact they're mid-table and they're not going to get relegated, they're not going to get European football, it means they can play with a little bit of confidence and swagger and express themselves a little bit more. So, yeah, you can change the narrative to whatever suits your kind of methodology that week, I guess. But I'm with you. We talk about it far too much.
You do, yeah. I mean, just looking at some of the other teams as well. I mean, Chelsea versus Watford, you've got three of those players if Havertz turns up. But like you mentioned, Mount, you could go for a differential captain in someone like James. They're so weak down the left, Watford.
Yep.
Like, I'm looking at Reece James, something I've got to get him in. You know, got Palace against United. I mean, Palace should, a home game for Palace where they've been so strong against United, who are just so, I mean, in transition doesn't even cover what United are at the moment. Leicester v Southampton, the worst team defensively away from home. You know, Liverpool versus Wolves, you've got Spurs. There's a lot this week that I think a hit for this game week 38 is completely reasonable to try and catch up with some of these teams playing who they
especially
are.
On premium players, like premium players that we feel like we can trust. Like, I don't think I'd be taking a hit on someone like Toney, even as good as he's been, but someone like a Reece James or a high upside player. Like, I think Luis Diaz, for example, knowing he's now had a rest and I've got him in my team, I think a lot, if they have that free Liverpool slot, let's say they're selling Salah, I think, forget the money. Don't think Salah to Luis Diaz means, oh, I've got 5 million, I'm going to leave in my squad value at the end of the season for game week 38. It doesn't matter. Luis Diaz is performing like a Salah, like a peak, like not quite a peak Salah, but like a 12 million asset in recent weeks. So I'm actually really excited about owning Luis Diaz, and he's actually a captaincy option this week for me.
He's a lovely punt, I think, for 38, Luis Diaz. Yeah.
He really is, isn't he? Like, I think we'll all look at Spurs players, but I think Liverpool against Wolves, as you say, is a really nice fixture. And they're going to, now the title's still on the line, they're going to go full strength, and I would expect goals.
Yeah. I think you personally, if Salah's a doubt, you do Salah to Son, Havertz to any one of the players that I've mentioned. I mean, you could even do sort of a bro, you're up to a Tony maybe, but I appreciate you want to try and tap into that Chelsea at home fixture. There's loads of ways.
Or City. You can go. I like City attack and Chelsea attack, yep. Which I do want to cover.
Foden. There's loads of ways you can go. I think you're in pretty decent, Nick. I think the difficulty for you will be if Salah is ready to start that game.
Yeah, I know. Like, how do I get Son in? Because I can't sell Havertz to Son, right? I was looking at it going, can I go Havertz to Son and go Saka down to a complete enabler? I don't quite know if I can even go that far. So it's a tough one. I mean,
selling Saka at home to Everton.
I don't mind that.
You don't mind it?
Okay. I honestly, I feel like Arsenal are so done. I wouldn't be surprised to see Everton win that.
I would be very surprised to see Everton win that.
You reckon? I just think Arsenal are so lost at the moment. And I do think Saka's injured. Mm. I'm not saying Saka won't play. Please don't sell Saka because I'm claiming he's injured. Something's not right. Watching him again last night or whenever the game was, Monday night, he's carrying something.
Can you lift Sharkop a little bit? Just because he is so cute. He's just fast asleep.
He is asleep in my arms. Yeah. I'm holding him like a baby because he's kind of, well, he is like a baby. And I'm practicing for fatherhood.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Oh, you've got it down, mate. You're going to be fine. What is that thing behind you as well?
Oh, thanks for asking, Az. This is amazing. So some of the best football games ever, right? Think of your Champions League finals, Man United, Bayern Munich, 99. Well, Clive Tilsley, signed on the back, has put together a collection of his commentary notes from these best football matches ever, right? So any guesses for what game I might have on this print? This is Clive Tilsley's lineup and his commentary notes for a game he commented on not that long ago.
Not that long ago.
So he, I think...
It was Clive on the Aguero moment, right?
No, I think that Aguero, that's Martin Tyler. He was probably there for someone, Clive. But no, I mean, look, there's some big games over the years Clive's done. And he's also did some work in the Euros, right? So Euro 2020 final at Wembley, Italy versus England. I have got Clive Tilsley's notes. You can see there, Jorginho, Verratti, Barella, Chiesa, all the stats. So this was hit. This was commentary notes.
That is quite cool, actually, I have to say.
So that's going to go on the wall, and with my Italian shirts and my Ciao Bello and my Roberto Baggio. So yeah, it's going up there. If you're interested in any of Clive's work, he's got a Twitter page for it.
Oh, well, here we go. How much is he paying you?
He's got a Twitter page for it. Commentary Charts, at Commentary Charts. And yeah, that was actually gifted to me by Chris Stark. So Chris Stark and Clive Tilsley have set this up together. And Chris Stark, I think you know, as you did an interview with him, didn't you, for Five Live?
I've spoken to Chris Stark about a couple of things, actually.
So Chris Stark, big football fan, clearly mates with Clive Tilsley, and they've done these commentary charts, which I think are awesome. They're like, for 20 odd quid, you can get it. And it's obviously not the original print, but original Clive.
I thought at first it was the original print, and I was like, that is good. But no, it's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I love it. I'm just watching the chat. I'm guessing loads of them guessed that it was the Euro 2020 final I went for.
Yeah, a few people saying that.
Oh, God, I'm going to get loads of comments now about being anti-England.
Well, yeah, you can't bring along a bloody commentary sheet to the team, the match that we've had our worst loss in recent memory in, but fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for asking. I'm chuffed with that. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, that is really cool. Yeah, check them out. Yep. Much are they paying you?
I so promise you nothing.
No, yeah, we don't need to hashtag add this video then.
No, we definitely don't. Do you know what it was? I saw Chris Stark, I think, posted something on Twitter, and I commented being like, oh my God, I absolutely love this. And he was like, oh, I can send you one. I was like, that's so nice of you. Thank you. And he did. I couldn't believe it.
Mate, that is the celeb appeal of Gianni Bittici.
I don't think he even knew I was. I think he was just feeling generous.
Amazing. I think that's about it then. Captaincy.
What about captaincy, Az? Because I need your opinion on this. Where are you going?
I think if you've got Son, it's about the easiest captain decision of the season. I can't see any reason why you would go against the most informed player, against the worst defence in the league. I think Norwich are at home. I think they're going to go for it a little bit. And to be fair, they do go for it anyway under Don Smith. But that's going to play into Spurs' hands much more than Burnley, for example. I wouldn't be put off by the Burnley narrow win. I think Spurs win heavily against Norwich on the final day. So yeah, Son for me, Kane probably second. If Salah's fit, I think he's an interesting one. I do think though, if you are chasing in a mini league, like we've said before, I think there's enough players to roll the dice. You know, your Vardy, Maddison, I think
Alonso.
Reece James. Yeah, I'd go for Reece James over Alonso purely because of Watford's weakness down the left. That is something worth mentioning. I mean, someone like Diaz, for example, just given the form that he's been in. Yep. I mean, if Havertz is out, you could even bring in Lukaku. How about that for a maverick move? Final day hat trick for Lukaku. Now that would put you up the list. There's plenty of ways you can go with it, but logically, Son is to me an easy decision.
I am. There's still part of me that's like, I've gone Kane over Son all this time. Now Son will be in my team, I'm sure, and I'll have Kane and Son. But because I've been Team Kane for the last few months and it's cost me, is game week 38 going to be the week where he massively trumps Son? And is that
Son blanks and Kane gets 15.
Honestly. Miss it. So I am tempted to go give captaincy to Kane over Son. But look, I guess the evidence shows us in the last few weeks or months that Son does outperform him, tends to outperform him. Didn't last week, but... yeah, that's a hard call to make that. For those that have been loyal to Kane, I think it's a really hard move still.
True. And, you know, there's this talk about pens, isn't there? If it's 0-0, Kane takes the pen. If it's 1-0,
yeah, or even 1-0, yeah. If there's one goal in it, Kane still takes the pen.
I personally think Kane takes the pen, whatever. That's my own view of it. I unless they're like 6-0 up in the 88th minute, then he might. But Kane cares too much about his own records. He won't be happy with, what, 13, 14 goals he's got this season? He won't be happy with that.
Yeah, true. Also, Son has to have scored a goal or two in that game to think he has a chance of winning. So it needs to be two goals to the good and then ask for the penalty, which, again, we're looking at even less likely scenarios.
Yep. Final question, just someone mentioning De Bruyne in the chat. I mean, the one... game we haven't really talked about is City versus Villa. I'm expecting this to be tight. I don't think City roll over Villa. Look at how Villa played against Liverpool a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Played really well in that. Ings scored that great goal, didn't he? That was offside. Yeah. They had good chances. City are vulnerable defensively, like we saw against West Ham. I think Villa can get at them with the creativity they've got. I think City win, but I'm not expecting a 3 or 4-0. And I can see plenty of other games where there's bigger hauls for players. So he wouldn't be in my consideration.
Yeah, I owned him at the moment for my free hit against West Ham. And I was really frustrated. What City do when a team is uber defensive against them, as West Ham were second half, City commit all the numbers going forward. They have 80% possession. De Bruyne becomes the quarterback. And against West Ham, he was so eager to get on the ball and make things happen that a bit he drops deeper and deeper, and you get your flying wingers, your wide forwards, your fullbacks all ahead of him, and he's assisted the assist man. It's against teams that are deep and park the bus, he becomes the assist of the assist man. And I think that's what Villa will do. I think they'll be deep. I think they'll have numbers behind the ball. They'll play on the counter, and De Bruyne will be frustrated. If they don't score early, and when I say early, if they don't score in the first half an hour or even in the first half, it will be a tight game and De Bruyne will be deep. If City get an early goal, however, like is often the case, they could steamroll them 4-5-0, but they need an early goal and they didn't get it against West Ham. And I don't know if they will get it against Villa. I still want to cover City attack, but that's because of my loyalties to them and Foden in particular. And that's likely where I'll go.
See, I just don't see City steamrolling Villa. And this will probably
even with an early goal, though. If they get an early goal, it could be big.
I just think if ever there's a game where you want to manage it and see it out, which Pep is so good at doing, it's this one. You don't go gung if you're 1 or 2 nil up. You don't go gung ho to hit 5 or 6 against Villa, who can hit you on the counter attack. They've got fast play. You know, Coutinho, Watkins. These are quick players who can break. Where City, that's how peak teams score against City.
Yeah,
they've got the players that can. They've got the players that can hurt them.
I just don't feel like City need to go gung ho to get the 4 or 5 goals, because the way they play, they create so many chances. Normally, they don't have to leave themselves open to push. I just think if they get the early goal, then Villa push a little bit. Certainly, if they go 2-0 up, Villa then have to come forward. And the spaces, when you're talking about the likes of Grealish and Mahrez and Foden, even Jesus recently, they're just so, they can be so clinical when confidence is high. And I feel like if they go 2-0 up or even 1-0 up, it'll be a party atmosphere. The nerves will go. Villa might commit numbers. There might be space. And I just like backing the upside there. But yeah, I don't know. I still want to go there. But I also appreciate I'm often blinkered and blinded by City. Like, looking at the overall points this season of those City midfielders that I always bang on about, and I include Foden in this, underwhelmed this season. Like, Foden's numbers haven't been great. He's got, what is he on, 130 points for the season or something? It's like, you know, Mason Mount's on 170. Mm. We don't talk about him every week, but we do talk about Foden. Those Man City mids have all been pretty, other than KDB, just looking now, actually. So, yeah, KDB 190, Sterling 159. Bernardo had his moments of 153, but then Foden 135, Mahrez 134. Gundogan 110, Grealish 86. Like, rubbish returns. Rubbish returns, considering we talk about them all the time.
I mean, Foden really has underperformed, isn't he, from an FPL perspective. I mean, I didn't actually realise it was as bad as that. 135 points for...
It's poor.
Who's played majority of games, I'd say.
That's number nine.
Yeah, I mean, 9 goals, 6 assists. It's a decent return, but, you know, he's below, like, Rafinha, Gallagher, Benrahma, Ward-Prowse. You know, Trossard's got more points than Foden this season.
Yeah. Trossard, Ward-Prowse, unsexy picks that are smashing him. Yet we talk about Foden every week. I mean, look, I buy him every week. That's probably why. But you definitely expect more from the guy playing number nine in the team that scores the most amount of goals.
Yeah. One final question for you, just before we go. And I think we're going to do a kind of a post-season look back over your season and best moments and mistakes and chip use and all that kind of stuff. So we'll have one more of these next week. So don't worry. And yeah, well, of course we'll be back next season, FPL Doddy.
Oh, yeah.
We carry on next year. Yes, Gianni will be back.
We've signed the new contract.
Yeah, he's signed the new contract. He's promised me a load of those commentary things. So yeah, we're all good. Okay, final question. City, Villa are 1-1, the 95th minute. Player, you know, gets given the ball in the penalty area for City. All he's got to do is slot it home. Aguero moment. Which City player do you want on the end of it? And which player do you not want on the end of it?
I can see KDB still being that guy, because I just think he's the main man. But for FPL, I think Jesus will have a little bit of backing because of forward spots, and he's already got a decent amount of ownership. So I'd hope that it's not Jesus. I'm just looking at the Man City ownership.
I think Jesus is probably the last player in that City team I'd want that on the end of that.
Oh, yeah, as in the one I actually backed to convert it. Yeah. I definitely want De Bruyne, if not Foden or Bernardo, because he can finish Bernardo. He's just rarely in front of goal. Yeah, I wouldn't want Jesus near it. But in terms of ownership, Jesus is 10% owned, so he could hurt rank a little bit if he gets goals. The others are all so lowly owned. You know, De Bruyne is 16%. Bernardo's 14%, but it's all the casuals from earlier in the season. So, yeah.
They've got quite a few players who I wouldn't want on the end of it. When you look at the City teams of the past, you know, the likes of Yaya Toure, David Silva, Aguero, all these guys I'd want, but I wouldn't fully trust Sterling, Foden, Mahrez,
Grealish,
Grealish. No, yeah. I wouldn't. Not you know, not to bet your house that player scores that goal. The only player in that team I'd bet on would be De Bruyne.
Yeah, I think me too. And even Cancelo, who I think has had more shots than anyone else in the Premier League this season in the Man City team.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous. Cancelo's had more shots than any of these players we're talking about. And he's only got a few goals. Like, he shoots, he's not very good in front of goal, Cancelo, as much as we love him. So, yeah, even Cancelo I wouldn't trust. And he's been their best player.
Yep. Excellent stuff. Right, we've done a bit of a bumper one today. But, I mean,
enjoyed
10 minutes of that was lost to typical technical issue on the final one as well, but yeah, blame Joe. As always, awesome, Johnny, we'll be back next week. Good luck in Game Week 38. I really hope you get that top 10k finished. That'd be a really nice end to this series of streams. Good luck to everyone listening and watching. Hopefully you've enjoyed them. Yeah, and we'll be back for the aftermath next week.
Thanks, mate. Let's go, Danny Ings. Come on.
Come on, Danny.